I'm Redbeard, and make no mistake about it, from 1981 through 1986, the biggest rock group in America was Journey. Without the benefit of MTV, too, this band from the city by the bay sold more than 30 million records back then. Millions of people saw them perform live over years of nearly endless touring. Journey songs became a soundtrack for a whole generation of fans raised on radio. To understand the success Journey achieved over their career, you have to start at the beginning, and that would be way back in June of 1973. That's right. The first incarnation of the band Journey included guitarist Neil Sean, a one-time member of Santana, the keyboardist and vocalist Greg Raleigh, also of Santana, bassist Ross Valerie, guitarist George Tickner, and future Tubes drummer Prairie Prince, soon to be replaced by journeyman English drummer Ainsley Dunbar. The band was managed by Herbie Herbert, whose dedication and determination figures very prominently in the long-term success story of Journey. Journey was an ambitious group of musicians trying to find an audience. Here's Greg Raleigh with me in the studio.
It was a cross between, you know, rock and roll and fusion, and we tried all kinds of stuff, a lot of dabbling in every corner of music. But the real idea behind the band was more, let's go play live, and we used to knock people out. In fact, as Herbie put it, we sold more tickets than we did records. People would come to see the band for the instrumentation and the energy of it, more so than the fact that it wasn't following suit with anything else on the radio. We did 8-minute songs, and nobody would do those things, but we did.
While the band's first three albums showcased their individual talents as top-rate musicians, it also created minimal interest from the record-buying public. Journey was also broke, and they were beginning to get some heat from their record company. Guitarist Neil Sean said it was time for a change.
I think that everybody's feeling at that time was, look, we're all starving to death, you know? And it's time we got to start making a living at this, or I was going to have to get a job selling ladies' shoes or something, you know? It's like, hey, you know, and I didn't want to really take another job. I wanted to play music and make a living at it. So it was like either, you know, make a move and have it be the right move or move on to another band. You know, I was ready to try something different maybe. I didn't know. I was getting confused, you know. It was like you try and you try and you try, and it's like you go back to the drawing board, and if it doesn't work, then you try something else. We had worked our butts off, basically, you know. I mean, basically paid our dues as much as we could pay them. I mean, we were traveling all around the States in a station wagon, like about 9 guys crammed in it, like driving everywhere just about in the nick of time just to jump on stage. I mean, it was like that, and we had been just like the workhorse for years and years. We just decided, we said, well, maybe we should look for a singer, you know, maybe we're missing a front man here that will carry. I mean, I know the music is good and the musicianship is great, but we need something else for people to focus on, all right, maybe to make this thing work.
In 1977, Journey began to look for a lead singer frontman. Their first choice was a guy named Robert Fleischman, who ended up co-writing a couple of songs on the Infinity album, including Anytime. But after a couple of months, Fleischman was let go, and the request of manager Herbie Herbert was that the band would audition a new vocalist, this time the name of Steve Perry. Ironically, young Mr. Perry was well aware of who Journey was, having talked with Greg Raleigh and Neil Sean over the past 7 years without ever letting on that Steve Perry was a singer.
A friend of mine that I was raised with in my hometown named Larry Luciano, he had left my little hometown earlier than most of us and gone up to San Francisco. He became friends with a lot of the people of the music scene at that point in time. He became friends with all the people in Santana, which, of course, you know, was the beginnings of Journey. And I went up and hung out with him a couple times, and I really, really, really had a desire to meet these guys. I couldn't figure out why. There was just something. I mean, he had told me about them, and I'd gone and see him play. And the first thing that really attracted me was Neil. I really thought Neil was stunning to me. And if I could work with a guitar player like that, I really felt that I could bring something to a collaborative thing like that, because he would just rise me to better heights within myself. I know he would, because he was such a stunning player. And that's basically the beginning of it. And then Neil and Greg Raleigh broke away from Santana and took their their main road manager at the time, Herbie Herbert, and he became their manager. And I used to see them in Los Angeles. Playing at that time was a nightclub called Starwood. And I went down and hung out with the band and introduced myself as Larry Luciano's friend, actually sort of a distant cousin, and was able to therefore get backstage and say, hey, how you doing? But you were right, Redbeard. They didn't really know that I was Larry Luciano's singing friend at that time, you know? But I had my eye on this band. I wanted to be in this band. But I was well aware that they had all the vocal capability they needed because at that time, Greg Raleigh was the vocalist of Santana, and he came from that legacy into the Journey thing. And it was a transition that worked well for him because they were a musically-oriented band. Greg would sing, and then they would go into musicality for a while. That was working. And then something happened. Something changed.
Journey with Just the Same Way, originally from the album Evolution. Upon first hearing Steve Perry's tape, the rest of Journey were not necessarily convinced that he was the singer they were looking for. But after some prodding by management, Steve Perry tells a story of how he was finally given the green light to prove himself with the band.
And it was somewhere out, I think, in Glendale or Pasadena, they were playing a show in a Quonset Hut, big Quonset Hut club. And it was an echoey locker room kind of thing. I think it was a gymnasium during the day, but it was a great club sound. And back there, he asked me to join along with him and come along. So I hung out and I picked up the bass, which I nerdled on a little bit, and started playing Lights and started singing it. And at that point in time, I started joining in some harmonies, and we started working out some harmonies on the chorus a little bit. And You know, I love Echo. Thank God it was a gymnasium and a locker room, because I think it got me the gig. And at that point, Greg Raleigh was my big concern, because he was the singer of the band. How's this guy going to let me in, you know? And why would he want to, you know? And he did. He did.
Coming up next, in the studio, you'll find out how Journey quickly got the reputation for an absolute juggernaut of touring. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio with Greg Raleigh, Steve Perry, and Neil Sean as Journey.
Hi, everybody. This is Neil Sean in the studio for Journey's Time Cube, Part 1.
Thank you, Neil. After hiring Steve Perry, the wheels were really beginning to turn for Journey, and the next move in the right direction for them came when they landed successful English producer Roy Thomas Baker, best known for his work on Queen's and I at the Opera, to produce the next Journey album, Infinity. It was also just before they went in the studio that Greg Raleigh discovered just how good their new vocalist, Steve Perry, was.
He and I went out, and he and I were talking about the band and how it would be put together and this and that. He was asking all kinds of questions about, you know, before he would dive into anything. And we were discussing vocal techniques and stuff, riding around in his little yellow Volkswagen. And I was sitting there, and I had never really heard him sing at all. And he sang something to me in the car. And I looked over at him, and I was going, I couldn't do that. That's what I was thinking to myself. My God, this guy's got a voice. And that's when it struck me that, I mean, he could just do it right there. And, you know, most people have to get real prompted, and he's got the natural gift.
Following the recording of the Infinity album, Journey set out on the road for their first tour with their new frontman, Steve Perry, who was in for a rude awakening.
I had no idea what I was in store for. I had no idea. I remember being in San Francisco. We finished the Infinity record. We rehearsed briefly. We left. And the next thing I knew, I was in Racine, Wisconsin, and it was cold, you know? And there was literally, I think, waist-high snow everywhere. And all I remember was walking from the dressing room to the stage. You had to walk through an area that was like a garage that was open to the outdoor, because that's where the trucks would pull in to unload. And there was no way to get from the dressing room, which was warm, to the stage, which was almost warm, except walking through there, you know. And sparsely dressed, we walked and froze big, you know. So that was a big shock for me. That's when I realized that I was on the road. And to answer your question, I really didn't realize how much a real workhorse this band was until, I'd say, well, 178 shows later, that same tour, nonstop. But I got to tell you, I would not change one thing, because it was the way to do it. It was the old rock and roll. You rock tonight, you roll to the next place, and you rock again.
Greg Raleigh remembers the Infinity Tour in the studio.
The Infinity Tour was called the Infinity Tour because it was infinity that we were out there. The band worked harder than almost any band, except for possibly Kansas at that time, and I still think we whooped them. So we were out there all the time. The band made it on personal appearances and getting a name out, and sold itself totally. We were fortunate to get Infinity on the radio, and that took it that extra mile.
It ain't always easy moving day to day. She said she wants to tease me, so I'm on my way. She told me she'd be there she phoned me today. A little girl, big teaser. So I'm on my way. When you're alone, it ain't easy. You're like a dog by the road. Ain't got no girl to tease me. Ain't got nobody home. Yeah, 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 yeah. Nobody home. My, 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 yeah. My, 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 yeah. Ooh, it ain't always easy moving day to day. Oh, how the girl loves to tease me. So I'm gonna stay. When you're alone, it ain't easy. You're like a dog that roams. Ain't got no girl to tease me. Ain't got nobody home. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
With the addition of Steve Perry, the band had evolved and its shift from instrumental specialist to song stylist was complete. The first victim, though, of this stylistic new direction was drummer Ainsley Dunbar, whose complex style was no longer fitting the simplicity of the new songs that were being written. Dunbar's replacement was Steve Smith, whom Journey had watched every night as the drummer for Montrose, one of the opening acts on the Infinity Tour, along with, by the way, Van Halen. The song that helped break the Evolution album wide open was Lovin', Touchin', Squeezin'. Steve Perry told me it was kind of a payback song.
What happened was my girlfriend was out running around, and I really didn't know about it until one night I'd gotten back up early, about 11:30, 12 o'clock, and I was really tired from working from the early day to that point, so I went to bed, and I woke up about 2 o'clock and realized that she wasn't there yet and just casually walked out to the front window to see her stepping out of a Corvette and another guy stepping out of that Corvette and, you know, heavy lip lock action going on. You know what I'm saying? You know, it looked like there were some tongue grooves going, the whole thing, you know? And I said, whoa, look at that. So it definitely wasn't, you know, a cruise for yogurt, you know? So... You know, but at the time, I was blinded and wanted to believe so much that, and this is how naive I was, I really wanted to believe what I wanted to believe real badly. And when she came in, I jacked her up about it. I says, well, you know, what was all that? She says, oh, don't be silly, just a friend. You know, so I kind of just left that as it was, and it wasn't too long after that, the whole thing was over, and it had to finish out and run its course.
Said we tried loving, touching.
And so the song came about out of the absolute emotional desperation, because it is a payback kind of like song, because she ended up dating that guy instead of me. And then when that was all over and done, you know, it won't be long till her man's out doing to her what she did to me. So, you know, I'm not professing that trust is a bad idea to to lock onto. I think trust is a wonderful thing, and to this day I still believe in it. And but that particular situation is how that song came about.
Coming up next, Neil Schon, Greg Rawley, and Steve Perry tell us about the departure of a key founding member of Journey. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net. I'm Redbeard. You're in the studio for part one of The Best of Journey.
Hi, everybody. This is Neil Schon in the studio for Journey's Time Cube, part one.
Thank you, Neil. Towards the end of 1979, Journey was back in the studio, laying down tracks for their sixth album called Departure. The first single to come from that album was Any Way You Want It, released March 1980. I asked keyboardist Greg Rawley what he remembers most about the recording of Any Way You Want It.
What I do recall is that we used a Mellotron, and the Mellotron was so noisy, and it's on tape. It was so noisy, and Jeff Workman was the producer and engineer on this, that he somehow got it to work, and we ended up putting an organ and a Mellotron together to develop the sound that it is. And it was the noisiest piece of garbage Mellotron, and it wasn't another one around. We had this idea it would sound great, and it was awful. Together, you put it together with the organ, and it developed its own sound, which was great.
She said, hey.
And as Steve Perry remembers, the lyrics to Any Way You Want It are about as blunt as his mama would allow.
That's sort of just a nasty song is all it is, you know. The woman in this situation was very willing, shall we say, to participate in all types of fun behavior in a nasty way. At the time when that song was written, that was new stuff for me. You know, sowing your oats, so to speak, you know, back when I guess it was safe to do so in such types of behavior, which now I guess, you know, the world's changed.
You may remember hearing Any Way You Want It by Journey booming out of Rodney Dangerfield's golf bag stereo during the film Caddyshack. And now it's all over TV in the Southwest Airlines advertisement, too. It was the first of many Journey songs that would appear in films. The album Captured followed the rank of its two immediate predecessors by going platinum within 2 months of release. Once again, America's biggest band was back on the road working hard, and it was in the hard work the guitarist Neil Sean took a lot of pride.
In the beginning of Journey, we basically had nobody on our side, you know, and it was a long, working, hard process. A lot of people just thought, well, these guys just made it, you know, out of nowhere. Wrong. You know, wrong.
But for one Journey founding member, Greg Raleigh, the party was over. After spending most of his young adult life on the road between Santana and Journey, Greg Raleigh announced that he was leaving the band to settle down and possibly raise a family. It was a decision that Greg had been contemplating for over a year, and it was a tough one, considering Greg was leaving the hottest band in America at the time.
I had a song that I actually couldn't, I didn't know what to do. I had the music here, and I had the verses, but I didn't know what to do with the choruses, and I played it at my house. Steve was living with me at the time, and I played it for him, and he just started singing on top of that, and it became what it did. We would get to places where I didn't have the range to hit it. He'd do it. Things like that happened all the time. Then it became a way of finding it. Again, it was like hit and miss. Same thing as what I had found in Santana. You just try for things because I wasn't schooled. I'm not a schooled musician at all. So it's just got to sound good. That's really how that worked in, and I liked sharing those things, playing off of each other, and I think it's terrific. I think it ought to happen more often in music.
It was a very alive band, I have to admit. It was. I'm real proud of Journey through its whole course, what it did for music then and now, and through all the people that were involved. It lasted a great time. I mean, if you were to look at it, you know, taking the art and the creativity and you take that away and just look at it as the kind of business that was run and how it was done and why it was successful, it's very close to brilliant. And I'm real proud of it.
I mean, you know, living in a suitcase with toothbrush. I want you to know I'm not complaining at all. That was the best times of my life, and I enjoy every, and I have no regrets. I would do it again tomorrow if somebody said, would you relive that period? I'd say, yeah. Just like it is if they asked me, I says, yes, I wouldn't change a thing, you know, if I could do that, because it was a great time in my life.
Now
I'm Redbeard. I'll be back in the studio after this. This is Redbeard in the studio, thanking my guests Steve Perry, Greg Raleigh, and Neil Sean. Follow In the Studio on Facebook, at Redbeard Rocks on Twitter, and online at inthestudio.net.